Here's Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Austin DeMarco will join us, the owner-operator of a service station, and there are many owner-operators of service stations we could speak to, about the rising price of gasoline and how is it controlled. Who would you say is culpable in the ultimate rising of prices or the raising of prices? Is it the owner-operator? Is it the oil company? We're also going to be joined by a man who is suing or is proposing to sue Mel Gibson, New Market Films, and Icon Productions over the film The Passion of the Christ because he says the character of Jesus, played by the great actor Jim Caviezel, is alluring or attractive to women. And that sort of, you know, negates the message of the movie or something. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Going to start the show tonight, though, by answering a question that's being asked today, and it's been asked yesterday and for weeks and months, and it'll never end because it's our favorite pastime. Who's to blame for 9/11? Well, let me give you the short answer. Do you want to hear it? Because you're not going to like it. You want to know who's to blame? Take a look in the freaking mirror, Mr. and Mrs. America. You want to know who's to blame? You are. Oh, yeah, right, Phil. That's so easy to say. Yeah, well, you were the guys obsessing over Bill Clinton having sex on the floor in the Oval Office when we could have been thinking about Al-Qaeda as early as 1995. They said the Clinton administration should have done something about it. Now, am I blaming President Clinton? No, I'm not. See, I don't go immediately to that partisan thing. And I say every Republican and every Democrat that plays this ad nauseum game of when we're in power, those guys suck. When they're in power, they suck. We suck. You know, in other words, as far as they're concerned, if you're a Republican, Democrat can't do anything right. And if you're Democrat, as far as you're concerned, a Republican can't do anything right. You people are the reason why this country is in serious trouble. If you want to talk about who the traitors are, if you're sitting around playing partisan politics as usual while Al-Qaeda is sharpening up their sabers and getting ready to take more flying lessons, then, brother, somebody needs to smack some sense into you. Now, do I include myself in this? Yes, I will, of course, so it doesn't seem like I'm pointing the finger all at you. Yeah, I'm one of the American people that stood there obsessing over Bill Clinton's sex life. Hey, why weren't we talking a little bit about Al-Qaeda? We were warned about it. They're the guys that pulled the job in 92. They're the guys, or was it 93, the World Trade Center? They pulled the coal. They pulled the job there at the embassy. We knew their names. They were in all the newspapers. Bin Laden's name was not unknown to us on 9/11. See, you can't do that in America, especially if you're running for public office. You can't point the finger back at the American people and say, why are you people so stupid? Honest to God. We're going to go down in flames. This country is going to go right down the toilet as we scream and yell at each other about how the Republicans did this and the Democrats did that. And play that partisan game as we all go swirling down the ever-swirling vortex of the toilette. Meanwhile, Bin Laden's over there getting ready for the next job. And what are we doing? Arguing with each other about who's to blame. This guy Clark, who wrote a resignation letter to President Bush praising him for his actions on 9/11. Praising him. Now he writes a book, and because he writes a book, he must be telling the truth. Everybody that writes a book's got to be telling the truth. Did you know that? Now let's talk about President Clinton, who I voted for. I got to keep saying this, and we're getting a lot of email. People don't like the fact that I'm a Democrat, and yet I support President Bush. You know what I don't like about a lot of you Democrats and a lot of you Republicans? The fact that you will go down to your death. You will you'll fall on the knife without ever saying, you know what, the other side sometimes has some good ideas. You'd rather see your country just, honest to God, you'd rather watch Americans get butchered up by the bushels so long as your guy ain't to blame, huh? Now we got Bush being blamed for 9/11. Now all of a sudden the panel says both administrations are culpable as early as 1995. And I can tell the phone calls coming in right now is going to be from either Democrats or Republicans defending their guy. Save yourselves the dime. Save yourselves the oxygen. I ain't taking your phone calls. This is Phil's speech time. And I don't want to listen to more boring people call up about how, well, you know, President Clinton should have been, and President Bush, and it's all just a lot of one ear in one and out the other, kind of a dribbly thing. If you'll pardon the term dribbly, I better call the FCC. Can I say dribble?
No, I'm sorry. That's obscene, and it gets me hot. But it is obscene.
All right, thank you, Mrs. FCC.
You're welcome.
All right. B-I-T-C. I didn't spell it all out. Both of these guys, these presidents, this is the truth. I'm going to give you the truth. You ain't going to hear this anywhere else. And one of the things that really befuddles everybody about this show, on top of the fact that we do funny voices, is the fact that I refuse to play this game, man. I ain't going to play this conservative radio thing. And I ain't playing no liberal radio thing either. They asked us at that stupid panel we were on in Aspen, what's the future of the liberal radio network? Will you guys give up the ghost on that? That's a stillborn. That thing is dead coming out of the gate. It ain't about that anymore. You want to know what I am? I'm a radical American. I'm an extreme American. I said I don't want any dumbbells calling in and saying it ain't our fault. The American people are to blame for 9/11. The American people. Because you sit here and point the finger, if you're a Democrat, at the Republicans. And if you're a Republican, you point it at the Democrats. And you can't, one side can't do anything right and the other side can't do anything right. And it's always their fault. And so you put into power these elected officials who don't read freaking minds. They do whatever they think is best because you voted for them. And at the time, what did America want to obsess about? Whether or not Bill Clinton put a stain on somebody's dress. Whether he had whitewater going on. All these things that got 3,000 Americans murdered. 3,000 Americans butchered up because Mr. and Mrs. America couldn't get enough of Bill Clinton and Monica. Bill couldn't get enough of her, but then what man could? There's plenty to go around, I'll tell you that. Okay, was that...
Yes, that was gratuitous.
All right. But you can't tell the American people that because that's... Oh, no, we work too hard. We're, you know... Huh? How are we to blame? How are you to blame? It's called participatory democracy. Ever heard about it? What do you think, magically you elect some guy and you're such a brain surgeon that you put in the right guy and when he makes a mistake it ain't your fault? It must have been some malfunctioning in the wiring? What do you think, there's a warranty on presidents? It ain't like buying a TV set. Well, they said at the store it was going to work fantastic and I got it home to the shop and the thing looks like crap. Well, presidents aren't like that. You vote for a guy, the guy goes into the public. Maybe some people don't understand the nature of what it is to be an elected official and what you're supposed to do. When you vote for someone, you're voting for the man in principle based upon a philosophy that he has extolled, ideas that he has for the government. But nothing, when you get especially to the level of being president of the United States, nothing is static. Things change. There is also that time-honored tradition that politics is the art of compromise. And so if your guy just doesn't go right down the line doing every little solitary thing that you want him to do, it's because he's living in a world called Washington, D.C., where they play hardball politics, and the guy has to come to the table, and other people got to come to the table. That's how stuff gets done. But to sit here and say that it's Clinton's fault or it's Bush's fault that 9/11 happened when everybody and their brother in America was worried about whitewater. Remember that? You remember that red herring? Monica, Jennifer Flowers. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda was over there getting everything set up, you know, planning, you know, getting the plastic explosives, ordering the fuses probably with a credit card. Osama was trimming his beard, kind of combing his locks back in the mirror, and getting ready to go out and commit more mayhem. But I guess that's none of our fault. That's got to be Bush or Clinton's fault, isn't that right? And then this guy, Richard Clark, anybody that buys that book deserves it. I told the president. Well, you know something, Clark? If you told the president, then there were plenty of guys that told President Clinton, too. And while President Clinton, quote, tried to make it very clear that there was a threat from Al-Qaeda, he didn't do much of anything to stop it. As a matter of fact, folks, if ever there was a compelling argument for going to war with these people, I mean actual military combat, it comes in the report from the federal panel that says President Clinton, and let's be very clear, President Bush would have done the exact same thing were he president during the 90s. The times were different. I mean... If there's been a truer statement, I don't know what it is, when people say the world sure was different before 9/11, it sure was. Back before 9/11, President Clinton dealt with the threat of Al-Qaeda the way the American people would expect a president to deal with it. Diplomatically, pursuing criminal indictments and diplomatic solutions. It says, quote, the Clinton administration had early indications of terrorist links to Osama bin Laden and future September 11th mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed as early as 1995, but let years pass as it pursued criminal indictments and diplomatic solutions to subduing them abroad, if found. Because that's the way we're supposed to do it, isn't it, folks, huh? We're supposed to be diplomatic. We got to go pursue all these niceties. We got to sit there and belch with our hand over our mouth and wipe our noses with a scented handkerchief. You know, when you're dealing with Al-Qaeda, let's get diplomatic solutions. Yeah, that helps. You know, let's trust the Saudis. Those guys will stick a shank in their grandmother's back, let alone Americans. But let's trust them to do something about them. Does that make President Clinton a bad guy? No, it made him a president in the 1990s in America. He was doing what he thought was the best that he could do for his country. Does it make President Bush a bad guy? It was a man trying to do what he thought was right for his country at the time. But everybody wants to find a criminal. Everybody wants to hang somebody. Everybody wants to point the finger and wag it and feel so self-assured and smug and self-righteous. And again, I say it's these people who are both Republican and Democrat who are so inflexible that the other side has never been right and never will be right. You guys are the real, you're what's wrong with this country. You want to know what's wrong with this country? All these jackballs on the radio with this conservative talk show crap. All these jackballs who want to have their liberal radio network. You guys are the ones that are sticking a knife in, turning it, and breaking it off. If ever we could use some open-minded people and some flexible thinking, if ever we could use a country united and committed, it's right now. And boy, this generation, man, we're letting down on every freaking front. You know, folks, let's quit taking credit for World War II, World War I, the freedom of slavery. We had nothing to do with it. Those were other generations of Americans. What have we done lately other than sit on our freaking thumbs and blame people while the threat from Al-Qaeda gets ever closer? They did the job in Madrid. Sure, you go ahead. You think it ain't going to happen again. You saw what Madrid did to the stock market? We get another terror attack, it goes back down another 1,000 points, then we got to crawl back from that, we get another terror attack, and we'll be in a recessionary cycle that will make this country unrecognizable in 10 years. We will be just a figment of what we used to be. You don't think it's possible? Did you think 9/11 was possible? Or am I just making all of it up? Take a look in the freaking mirror. You want to know what's wrong with this country, and I'm joining you right there with you, okay? Just so you don't feel alone, it's my fault, too. But it ain't about the talk show host, you see? What other crap? You can read this thing. You want to puke your guts out. The commission will not make any judgments. It says here, we found the CIA and the FBI tended to be careful in discussing the arbitration or the attribution for terrorist attacks. The time lag between terrorist act and any definitive attribution grew to months, then years, as the evidence was compiled. Who are they blaming? Both the Clinton and the Bush administrations. Both of them. Oh, my God. You mean that makes both Democrats and Republicans guilty? Yes. Eddie, do you want to explain it to these people? Eddie Van Halen joins us. As you know, Eddie lost half of his tongue to cancer, but he is a guy who... how you doing, Eddie?
I'm really good, Phil. I don't think you can tell the thing today.
Thank you. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Janice says to me, oh, are we getting emails from the people who don't like you calling yourself a Democrat? Well, read it and weep, folks, because that's what I am, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. What's the matter, man? Am I a Democrat that ain't toeing the party freaking line? I'd love to meet my equal on the Republican side, some guy that calls himself a freaking Republican who wants to puke his freaking guts up at all these inflexible right-wingers you got over there. Anybody over there thinking these? No, I know what you are. You're a libertarian. Boy, deliver me from those guys. Libertarians. The dullest group of human beings ever to come down the pike since the freaking seven dwarfs sat there just smoking their pipes and staring at Snow White when they could have been doing something else with her. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back. Austin DeMarco tonight and Steve Bozell.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The great nation of Israel, as you know, wasted one of the real scumbags of all time, this old, dried-up piece of I forget his name, but this is the guy that encouraged young people to go and murder themselves and other young people strapping bombs to themselves. This Hamas, you guys got to understand some about them. They are an organization that they have vowed to destroy Israel. I mean, that's in their charter. So, you want to sit there and you want to play games about how they're fighting for their homeland and that they want to destroy Israel. That is Hamas I'm talking about. The old piece of dirt that they blew out of that car, and that must have been a great thing to watch, was the architect of suicide bombings. The new guy that's taken over is somebody else who's equally as stupid, and he's a guy who said, now what's this guy's name? First of all, I gotta hand it to the internal security minister of Israel, a guy by the name of Zahi Hanegbi, who said in a statement on Monday, don't worry about it, baby. The successor is a guy by the name of Rantisi. We're coming after you too. So don't feel lonely. Your time will come too. And he said something that's been needed to be said for a long time. He says, it's time we quit apologizing for defending ourselves. You want to live in Israel, you know what it's about. 5 million Jews against 500 million Arabs. They've been talking about throwing us into the ocean since 1948. Who the hell do you people think you're kidding? So they've taken the war to the Palestinian terrorist organizations. They've wiped out this Yassin clown. They're going to go after this guy Rantisi. And the beautiful quote you got to hear, the new head of Hamas, this Rantisi guy said, you know, some kids are born to be suicide bombers. His son is a medical student. He said, Father, I'd like to be a suicide bomber. No. You be a medical student. Let some poor man's kid blow himself up. If ever there was an example of raging classist fascism, it's in the terror organizations of, in the PLO itself. Raging classist fascism. Let a poor man's son blow himself up. You go to medical school. Or that cow that Yasser Arafat's married to. What's her name? Isn't she living in New York? She's living in New York. She said, if I had a son, I'd be proud to have him be a suicide bomber. But unfortunately, I got a daughter. Well, there's good news for you, fatso. They're taking girls now. I think the last couple that blew themselves up were girls, weren't they? So, might as well pack the kid off to down to Pakistan, or whatever the hell it is. What is it, Palestine? I can't tell the difference between those people, can you? And have her blowed up. Her name's Suha Arafat, and I do mean fat. San Francisco Chronicle staff writer Anna Bodkin interviewed Hamas leader Abdel Aziz Rantisi, who recruits so-called suicide bombers. But when Rantisi's son, who is in medical school, said he would be honored to be a martyr, Rantisi scoffed that his son didn't know what he was saying because of his youth. Because of his youth! Then he said, some men must grow up to become doctors, but for that to happen, others have to sacrifice themselves and become martyrs. And it just so happens that my son gets to be a doctor, and the poor guy down the street, his kid gets to be a martyr. Oh, well. Suha Arafat, Yasser Arafat's wife, recently said that if she had a son, which she conveniently doesn't, she'd imagine no greater honor than for Junior to be a killer bomber. Well, you know what? Here's all I got to say about all that. Good for you, Israel. I hope you wipe out every last one of those scumbags, including Arafat. I know it's politically touchy. I know you got a lot of grandmothers in America, a lot of hand-wringing, weepy, whiny grandmothers in America who don't want it to happen for political reasons. I know you got a lot of anti-Semites in France and Germany who don't want it to happen, and Canada. I know you got a lot of people that hate you all over the freaking world, where there's a handful of us here in the United States and elsewhere that applaud you for defending yourselves. And by God, you know, I hope you take out a few more of them, man, before I get home, at least. Because I'd like to watch it on the late night news, if you don't mind. I got a brand new canister of Nestle's Quick, is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Let me put it another way. Here are the American people when it comes to the war on terror. And now, here, by contrast, is Israel when it comes to the war on terror. See? That's Israel, and this is America. Israel, America. 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 I say America, I really mean the American people, because we got soldiers who are brave, we've got some people committed in this country, but, you know, ask the American people, and they just want to be able to have a banana split on a Friday night, and don't bother me, huh? You know what? All you guys want is free chicken feed, ain't that right? What, do you think this is chicken feed? The only chicken feed around here is what they pay me. God, remember that? That shock and awe stuff? I still love it. I love it so. George C. Scott, Patton, God help me, I love it. I love it so. All right. We had who? Vernon Dozier was on our show yesterday. Mr. Dozier is a father involved in the Little League program with his young people, and Mr. Dozier felt, this is actually a couple of days ago, wasn't it? Was it last Friday? And Mr. Dozier feels that Little League's completely out of control. The announcers suck. The women who work in the snack shack suck. The coaches suck. The whole thing. And he had 9.5 years in the San Francisco Giant AAA organization. He ought to know.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
It sounds to me like this gentleman is trying to live vicariously through his child. And because he couldn't make it, he's just trying to run the whole organization when he has no business doing so.
I played 9 years in the show.
I've heard that 45 times in the last 20 minutes. So I'm well aware whether you played 6.5 or 7 or 9.5.
Ma'am, can I say something, please?
Certainly. Your turn.
Now, look, you old catcher's mitt.
Now, wait a second.
Now,
you can't say that.
I listen to this old bag. Now, I'm going to say what I want.
You're not calling people names, okay?
I played 12 years in the San Francisco Giants.
No, we already know.
My God, you've doubled it now. You started here 1.5 hours ago with 6.5 years. How'd you get to 12?
What are you off? You better get back on that oxygen tank. I think your emphysema's kicking in. Now, I'm going to say this.
You know what? My folks always said, them that can do, and them that can't talk about it. And I think, sir, you are having an awfully good time trying to talk a big game when you really ought to sit down and shut up just like you were told to.
Listen, the lady that ripped me off for $8.54 in the Snack Shack, who doesn't know what 2 bags of Skittles and an Almond Joy costs,
maybe
is the kind of human.
She's putting in her time.
Well, that's the thing.
She's not out there criticizing the coach.
Exactly.
The other players.
And she's volunteering, which is what makes our Little League in this country go.
She probably doesn't have a big old cash register that automatically does it, just like the folks do at McDonald's who have to work with pitchers, which is probably what you're most familiar with.
Year after year, dead people turn up, and they're old people. Senior citizens who were murdered and they don't know who did it.
You having a hard time breathing?
Wait a minute. What is that supposed to mean?
Am I having a hard time breathing?
Yeah, you're gasping, or is it because you're just a little drunk?
Oh, so
and
you're one of these women.
What are you filling your soda cans with at these Little Leg games?
It's called Little League, not Little Leg. Now listen,
again,
you.
Again, that's my accent, and if you had any class at all, it's about time for another little report on how long you were in the sport league.
I was in
12 years
in the San Francisco.
So I can't make it.
The San Francisco Giant organization, you old cleat. You were wonderful in Philadelphia Story and Adam's Rib, but you don't know anything about baseball.
Well, my God, is that a crime? Apparently it is in your world.
Catherine
but, you
Hepburn.
Know, I've done an awful lot of reading about the various games and the benefits that they do for our children. What is the matter with you?
Are you okay?
Listening to her voice is driving me around the edge.
Go ahead and say what you wanted to say.
Mr. Henry, I am now officially drunk. And the reason why I'm officially drunk is because of her. And women... Oh.
I can't believe it.
All right, you know what I'm going to do?
I've been accused of being the reason a man got drunk in a good many years.
Guess what? I'm going going out to find a cat. Any cat will do, and I'm going to strangle it. And it's because of you. Thank you, and good night.
God bless.
The guy just hung up.
He did.
He hung up. He says he's going out to strangle a cat because of you.
That's hilarious. My God, that guy, sick individual.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the. Hold on for a minute. Is he back? You tell this guy, Mr. Dozier.
Yes, sir.
Nobody hangs up on me and calls back.
You know what? All I wanted to say is, Joyce, if I still had my slider, I'd like to slide it right into your slappy pie hole. Thank you and good evening.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, look that one up.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hold on for a minute. Yes?
Mr. Andy, this is the FCC. What is a slider in the pie hole? What is that?
A slider is a pitch. It's a kind of a pitch.
Well, I think you're lying. I think it's something obscene.
It's a pitch! And you slide her pie hole mouth, meaning you like to hit her in the head with a pitch.
I think you're a lot.
I mean, I think that...
Oh, get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later, Austin Amarca on how he keeps his gas prices lower. And he does it by not allowing certain people to buy gas at his gas station, so he has a higher volume. Also, we'll have Steve Bozell, who is proposing a suit against Mel Gibson because of the film The Passions of the Christ. He thought the character of Jesus, the actor who played him, was too sexually alluring. Women are distracted by that. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Mike. Mike?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm calling about the comment you guys made about Palestinians a while ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you guys said they was fat.
Well, it was me. It wasn't you guys. It was me.
Okay, and you said they need to kill more of them before you get home?
Yeah, more of these guys like Yasin. Yeah, these assassins, sure.
Okay, why don't you just look at it? Look at Timothy McVeigh here. Don't cast out a whole society for one man. Just kill the one man. I agree with they killed the man. The man who led the whole little whatever he did, and he killed some people. Okay,
you're
that's
not, you're
cool.
Not quite
kill
sure
him.
What he did, though, are you?
Oh, yeah, I know what he did.
Oh, really? What did he do?
He is the Palestinian underground leader.
How did Timothy McVeigh get involved in this discussion, by the way? That's a real stretch.
Would you, what I'm
you
saying
know, it's been
is,
a long
would
time
you,
since
no, no,
I've
no,
about
wait,
that
wait,
guy.
Wait, wait.
I haven't even thought about Timothy McVeigh. And in fact, hardly anybody's thought about Timothy McVeigh in years. You're the only guy that's even thought about him.
But would you rather would you like for him, everybody around the world to cast out America because of what he did in our own state? No, you wouldn't like to. Just kill
what are you
man
talking about, man? You haven't listened to one thing that I've
you're
said.
You're casting out a whole society
no, I never said
for
that.
What one
no,
man done.
No, I didn't say anything of the sort.
Yeah, you are. One
no,
leader of one little cult, you're
you know,
casting
if you get
out
a little bit
society.
Of that wax cleared out of your ears, it's an amazing thing what you'll hear.
No,
just a few
I know
Q-tips.
Already.
Huh? No, you didn't hear anything. I didn't cast out the Palestinians. I said
yeah,
they are.
You did. You said kill more of the fat bastards before you get home tonight.
Guys like Hamas founder Sheikh Ahmed Yasin. Yes, people like that. Yes.
Yes, kill him, but don't classify the whole race.
I didn't classify the whole race. I didn't classify the whole race, Mike.
You
but like I said, if you get some of that hot oil and you pour it into your ear, it'll loosen some of that wax.
No, why don't you just take your brain and unloosen it for a second and
well,
realize
look at,
that it's
at least
just
I got one.
Help.
You took yours out and played with it years ago.
No. Do you even know how it all happened over there?
Yes, I do. Do you?
Okay,
yes, I know exactly how it happened. In
okay,
fact, I know how it happened going all the way back to the 19th century. You want to match wits with me on that, brother? You are going to lose. But go ahead. You tell me how it all started to happen.
What it happened was Palestinians took in Israelians, Jews.
Jews.
They took them in.
They took them in.
Here's a spot of land. Nobody else in the world wanted them.
They took them in,
Hitler.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay, they say, here, here's a spot of land.
Is that what they did?
It.
Oh, okay.
Okay, next thing you know, they
right.
overcome it.
This guy's got to be
a joke.
Over. Is this a joke?
No,
this is a joke call. You got to be a joke. Is this one of the regular guys?
No, this is not a joke.
Eric, is this you?
No.
Dude, close your mic next time you're... Mike, the Palestinians didn't tuck in anybody. They were forced to take in the Israelis by the United Nations. As soon as the Israelis declared their state, they were attacked on all sides by the Arabs. Okay, so right at the gate, you got it all wrong. Right at the gate, you got it all wrong.
I got it different. Look at it. Look at Arabs' point of view. They're under
what
martial law.
What am I wasting my time talking to this guy for? That's about a minute longer than I should have. I might as well be talking to some guy sitting on a park bench someplace who's, you know, I love boiled peanuts, but nobody else likes them. Now, what's that about? Good Lord. That cat right out of the gate didn't have it right. I don't know what the hell, you know, see, I give dignity to everybody. Oh, my God, I just looked up at the screen again. There's Susan Estrich. You know what bothers me about her? She's got the kisser on her like an ex-girlfriend of mine. And she talks like my dad. See, the whole, put it all together and what do you got? You got some scary stuff. 1-800-449-8686. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, is available online just by going to www.philhenryshow.com. Or you can call 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. That's The Death of Talk Radio, The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Look at this here. Black clergy to rally versus gay marriage. From the cradle of the civil rights movement, several hundred black pastors are coming out against gay marriage. Now, there you go. That's Uncle Tom in action. A lot of you younger people, you don't know what an Uncle Tom is? That's what an Uncle Tom is. Black pastors versus gay marriage. In other words, well, we get our civil rights, but I'm not going to go for this gay marriage stuff because the white guy, you know, the white man's already mad enough at it. White people hate black people. No reason to making them hate us more. So there you go there. And then the two, it turns out, you know that ape they shot up in, where was it, Dallas? Two teenagers were taunting the poor ape with rocks and they shoot the ape? What's wrong with shooting a couple of teenagers for throwing rocks at the ape? God, man, I'm telling you, this thing that Americans, the human race has with putting animals in captivity and staring at them like a bunch of dummies is beyond words. Here's a beautiful animal that belongs out in the mountains. What the hell are we doing with these freaking zoos? But I digress. Kill more of those Hamas guys. That's what I say. 1-800-449-8686. Steve.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? You know, Phil, I just want to let you know, I really agree with a lot.
You ask me how I'm doing? I'm doing great.
Okay, I really agree with a lot of your views, especially when you get on a W, and I know that's not a popular thing to do on most of your radio stations.
When I get on him?
Channel.
When I get on
well,
him?
Yeah, you say some negative things about him, which I appreciate
not really.
Your honesty about that. Well, you do. Anyways, and by the way, your screener is really, really rude and uses profanity.
Okay, well, he told me that you're
callers.
Pretty freaking rude, too.
No,
so get
I
to your point or
no,
I'm going to hang up on you, okay? Get to your point, stupid, or I'm going to hang
okay.
up on you.
Why you call me? Okay, listen.
Because you
I
know
Phil,
something, man.
Are you
I'm
a
interested
Jew?
In your opinion
Phil, are you
about
a
my...
Jew?
All right, hold. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did you say?
Are you a Jew? Are you Jew?
No, I'm not.
You're not
I know.
Jewish.
Anybody that supports Israel's got to be a Jew in your book, right? No, I'm
okay,
not. I'm Roman
Jewish?
Catholic.
Yes
Irish,
or no?
Irish Roman Catholic.
Are you really, Phil?
Yeah, isn't that amazing, Steve? It's kind of like a white guy sticking up for a black guy in his civil rights. You must
be
nuts to stick up for Jews and black guys, right?
Now, Phil, I know about you. You're Jewish.
Listen, Steve, I tell you what, go on back to the Klan bowling league. I'm a white, Irish,
listen.
Catholic, raised in Arcadia, California, went to Holy Angels Parish, so stick it up your, I better not offend the FCC. Why don't you just shove it up your mama? How about that? You get on that kick. Hey, Steve, you're a raging anti-Semite. I can tell that from a mile away, and I ain't even going to go down the road with you. I told you I wasn't a Jew. We could have had a conversation. But he said, nah, you're a Jew. See, in this guy's book and in everybody else's book that supports Israel, you gotta be, and you notice how they say it, a Jew. That's kind of the same way that Himmler spit it out of his mouth, you know? A Jew. Anybody that is not Jewish, you use the term Jewish, or Jewish folks, or Jewish people. If you're a Jew, then you say Jew. The rest of you, Goyim, the rest of you white Anglo-Saxon turds, you say Jewish, okay? That's I'm just teaching you some manners. That's number one. Number two, Irish Roman Catholic. I know it hurts. I know it's unbelievable. I know you can't possibly fathom that an Irish Roman Catholic, sometimes Nichiren Daishonin Buddhist like Phil Hendry, could possibly support Israel. But you know what? There are a few of us. I admire that country. I admire their guts. I admire their moxie. I know what the Jewish people have been through. Why is that? Because I'm a student of history. I'm a student of European history, specifically. And when guys like this get on the air, and I've heard them millions of times before, their first thought is, this guy's got to be a Jew. And when they find out that you're not, they can't believe it. So they've got to just assume that you are. No. Holy Angel School, LaSalle High School, my father, Herbert L. Hendry, Scottish-Irish from Canada, my mother, Irish-Canadian. Hate to break the news. Maybe I sound like a Jew. I've been around a lot of Jews. I've talked to lots of Jews. In fact, I had a few for girlfriends. I'm sure, Steve, you know, you probably had a few for boyfriends. I'm kidding. That was not called for. In fact, there was a guy that used to call my show. You remember this guy, Irv Rubin? You remember Irv? You know, I actually admired Irv. A lot of people didn't like him because he was violent. But I always admired him, and I'll tell you why. Because he said, look, you can sit around and talk, but the fact is, I know, excuse me, I know how skinheads, these Aryans, and the rest of these guys like Steve think. And there's only one way to confront them, and that's with violence. And Irv would go down there, and he'd take bats, baseball bats, axe handles, anything he could put his hands on, and go down and duke it out with these guys. And, of course, the mainstream Jewish folks thought that that was just all wrong and terrible, and maybe it was. But I always admired the guy for absolutely taking it to these scumbags. Israel is kind of like a larger version of that. You know, they're just saying, that's not going to happen anymore. Now, you may want to incinerate every Jew that ever lived, because our experience in the world is that the world doesn't like Jewish people much. Something about us killing Jesus. Never mind the fact that Christians have paid Jews back in kind, many-fold, for whatever crime they committed against Jesus. I mean, the harassment, the Holocaust, and the butchery of Jewish people down through the years has more than paid for 18 different sons of God, let alone one. But it's never, you know, either if you hate Jewish folks, you hate them. And you're never going to want Israel to exist, and you're never going to want them to defend themselves, which is their perfect right. Why is there an Israel? I'll tell you why. Because the human race doesn't want Jewish folks living in their countries or their world. They were pushed out of every country they were ever in. They were not allowed to join trade unions, not allowed to do anything, much of anything, other than to be merchants. And it all came culminating there in the 1930s and 40s with a thing called the Holocaust, until finally the world couldn't stand the smell of burning flesh any longer, and they allotted them some land in the Middle East. Land, yes, of a partitioned Palestine. Land that the Palestinians, yes, rejected giving them. But after the initial attack on the state of Israel, when the Arabs got their rear ends kicked for the first time, then the Palestinians came back to the UN and said, you know what, that petition plan you had? Yeah, I think we'd like to accept it now. Oh, really? Well, guess what? All bets are off now. That's what happens in the real world when you grow up with adults. So do I admire Israel? Yes, I do. Do I hope they live for 80 million thousand billion years? Yes. Am I Jewish? Gee, I hate to break the news, but no. I'm like almost, I'm not a wasp, which I'm really thankful for, but I'm like just almost kind of like you, waspy folks. Phil Hendry Show, I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Austin Amarca joins us, an owner-operator of a service station in Lancaster, California. Mr. Amarca?
Yes, sir.
Listen, the price of gasoline continues to climb, although I think they said it's going to flatten out here pretty soon because production has not dropped and the price of oil, in other words, has not gone up. I wanted to get your take, though, on the, as an owner-operator of a service station, interacting with the community every day, interacting with people who are purchasing gasoline, how much control do you have over the price of gasoline?
Phil, I've got significant control. Remember, I'm at the mercy of the cost of fuel from the refinery, so my raising and lowering prices will reflect what it does cost me. It's like any other business, but I've tried to keep the price of gasoline down during this latest upsurge.
How do you do that?
Well, I've got a lot of long-time customers that I want to take care of. I'm able to keep the price of my fuel low. For instance, our high test right now is at $2.10.
Wow. That's lower than anything I've heard.
I try to do this by high volume. I've got a higher volume because I try not to sell to everybody, so my regular customers and others know there's going to be a steady supply.
Well, now, when you say you don't sell or you try not to sell to everyone, what do you mean?
What I mean is I try and discourage fuel consumption by certain kinds of customers, Phil, both as a public service and as a way of conserving supplies.
What kind of customers?
I try and discourage elderly drivers, and by that I mean those who are above the age of 60 for purchasing fuel because they obviously have been involved in manslaughter-type situations. The elderly drivers were familiar with their cars, and conversely, I try and discourage young people, say under the age of 20, from buying fuel because, again, the insurance companies will tell you they are higher risk at causing some kinds of manslaughter. So certain kinds of female drivers, I know many commercial female drivers, and they're some of the best drivers I know, but a lot of these female drivers who are single, they tend to be a little reckless because they don't have the responsibility of a child or a husband, and you see them in their high heels and this kind of thing, and they're always in a hurry. These people can cause a manslaughter kind of situation.
How do you discourage, it's not legal to not sell, how do you discourage a customer who wants to a tank of gas from buying it?
Well, it's a delicate situation. Legally, as you said, Phil, I am bound to sell my product.
Of course.
I've got a young man who works for me and eventually is going to become my partner. He's been with me for 10 years. Probably the best all-around bumper-to-bumper mechanic I know. This young man is also physically rather imposing. He stands about 6'5" and pushes 300 pounds. He's also an African-American.
Did you say African-American, sir?
Yes. His name is, I don't want to give his name, but...
Just give his first name.
His name's Jeffrey.
Okay.
And if we determine there's what we call a level B or an undesirable customer, he will go out there and talk with him. Because I have told him, just convince them that buying gas here would be a waste of time and point out, we have a Thomas Brothers guide, we point out where the nearest gas station is.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Austin Amarca. You do not sell gasoline to certain kinds of drivers, and that enables you to hold on to a high volume. What about handicap drivers?
That is also, handicap drivers are a manslaughter deal waiting to happen.
Isn't that kind of the prejudice? See, the statistics very clearly show that handicapped drivers are no more likely to cause accidents than people who are fully capable.
Well, sir, you're asking me how do I regulate the cost of fuel. I try and keep it down because I have a higher volume, and I have a higher volume because when a man drives into my service station and he's lowered from his car on a ramp, or the lady's too old and they stand there staring at the pump for a full minute wondering how it works, or they're so young they want to give their daddy's credit card and go out and get gas to drive daddy's car fast, or they're one of these career women with no child or husbands sitting on a cell phone, so when they do sideswipe someone or run over a pedestrian, they aren't liable to find out about it until the cops show up on the doorstep 2 weeks later. I try to keep these people from buying gasoline. But
is that legal?
I'm legally bound.
So when you say you have this young man by the name of Jeffrey, who is an African-American mechanic that works for you, and he's a partner?
He is a would-be partner, yes, sir.
Does he go out and intimidate these people?
No, sir. What he says...
Well, when you say that he goes out and he says, look, it wouldn't be a good idea... So a woman pulls into your gas station who is a career woman, and she wants to get a tank of gas. Maybe she's already out of the car, and maybe she's already got the hose out, and she's going to self-serve.
Well, I'll send Jeffrey out there and explain to her that we do we're a neighborhood gas station. It probably wouldn't be a good idea for her to gas up here. If we have a Thomas Brothers guide, if she wants to know where another gas station is, we can point it out to her.
So you're not afraid of sending business to somebody else?
Well, no, sir, because, again, our prices are much lower than anybody else's because of the high volume. But I just don't... What I try to avoid are a lot of these people just pulling into my gas station who I've never seen before, and they just want to walk right up to my pump and buy gasoline. I have to ask, what's that about? You know, and...
All right. I may be one of those guys. Hold on for a minute. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca talking about selling only to the neighborhood and not to strangers or handicapped people or these kinds of people. That enables you to hold on to your gas and keep the price low.
And Mr. Ender, the drivers that are safe and should be on the road are the ones I want to sell gas to as well.
Let me ask you, if a stranger pulls into the gas station that you've never seen before, if a man's on a long journey, okay?
Yes, sir.
And the man is in need of gas. Say he's running on fumes.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to say, because you don't know him?
Well, you got to understand it from my point of view. I built this business, along with my brother-in-law, we built this business in 1981. We purchased the initial service station. And I have worked very hard to make this a successful service and filling station for the neighborhood and for the people who live around here. Now, a guy pulls in off a highway and just gets out of his car and walks over to one of my pumps as if he sort of owns the place. That's something that a lot of guys don't take that personally. And
well, should you? I mean, most guys that own service stations will sit there and kind of look through the glass. Here comes a guy who wants gas, right?
Well, that's true. But, again, I don't like it when someone comes into my... I just personally don't like it when someone comes into my business and starts throwing their weight around. Yeah, give me a pack of Marlboros and I'll take 20 on number 3. Generally, I want to ask, well, you know, who are you and what makes you think you could just walk in here?
Well, they're coming in to get gasoline.
I understand that, but maybe a little bit of respect should be shown, and especially if, like I say, it's elderly or young, then I will say, but what I'm asking for is just an acknowledgement that, boy, I've never been in your service station before. It would be really, you know, may I get some gas? Instead of just walking over to the pump like they own the place.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's interesting. I've been, Mr. Remark, into a lot of service stations, and I've just walked right in like I own the place because it's my assumption that when I pull my car in, I can just get out, grab the pump, put it into the fuel tank, and begin fueling.
I understand that, and that's the impression I guess a lot of owner-operators will give you. But I'm very particular about who I let just waltz right into my place and act like they own the place. Now, if some service owner-operators want to do that, that's fine.
Well, higher volume means lower prices for your customers, and the way you get higher volume is by discouraging certain kinds of customers from buying your gasoline. Again, when you say you don't want to have young people, meaning under the age of 20, old people...
Well, the customers that are not at high risk for manslaughter will keep on coming back to my service station. They know I'm doing a good deed trying to keep the high risks off the road. But if I got some manslaughter risk, like one of these old people... Yeah, give me a full tank of gas so I can go out and commit manslaughter. Why would I want to do that? And you know, when they train security people at the airport, they say, make sure you check those bags because how are you going to feel if you let someone on the plane with a bomb and it blows up? Well, I feel the same way about my gasoline. How would I feel about selling gas to a person who goes out and commits manslaughter to a minivan full of children?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca, a owner-operator of a service station in Lancaster, on how he keeps the price of gasoline down. He doesn't sell to just everybody. Here is Katrina. Go ahead, Katrina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Katrina? Okay, she's gone. Let's take a break, all right? And we'll be right back with Austin Amarca. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The triumph of intelligence over ignorance. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Austin Amarca. He's a owner-operator of a service station in Lancaster, California. You try to discourage certain people from buying your gasoline. We're at a time where people, obviously, it's very expensive. And because you discourage certain people, you're able to sell a lot to your neighborhood. You recognize all your customers?
I know a lot of my customers, yes, sir. And, I don't discourage everybody, but... Individuals who look like they're going to go out and get involved in one of these manslaughter deals where I just read the other day where a minivan full of orphans got run right off a road into a freight train that was coming at about, I don't know, these freight trains out in the open country out here in northern LA County They'll get rolling about a good 60, 70 miles an hour, and a minivan full of orphans head on into a full rolling freight train. Who's the guy that sold him the gas? That's what I'd like to know. You find out that these guys that are cruising down here and picking up these prostitutes, these serial murderers, who's the guy that sold them the gas? I don't want to be the guy that sold the gas to someone who went out, picked up 20 different women, murdered them, and got involved in a manslaughter deal. So that's why I try to be picky. But you're right. Legally, I've got to sell to everybody. Absolutely.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show here. Let me go to a phone call, but it sounds to me like you're being rather selective, and you also have an assistant by the name of Jeffrey who is, it sounds intimidating. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, sir?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. You know, I just want to say this. I happen to drive trucks for a living, and I deliver domestic motor fuel to gas stations. And you know how many people come to your gas station that you may or may not understand? You can. It's
Wait a minute. You deliver the fuel. You don't own the station.
Yeah, certainly. So what you're saying then is I should quit my job because I drop you 6,200 gallons of 92.
Well, how much of that gas? 52?
6,200 gallons per load
okay.
is what I usually
right.
average per
and
double
how
trailer.
How much of that fuel is used by some guy that's going to go out and murder orphans?
Maybe 14, 20 gallons. You don't even know if he's going to go out or murder orphans. But that's not even the point.
Well,
my point is this. I'm up here in Fresno. I live in Fresno, California. And you know what? You know how many people...
Well, you got blood on your hands, my friend.
I have blood on my hands. I would have blood on my hands if I crashed my tractor trailer. Then I might have blood on my hands.
Yeah, but you're dropping off fuel, and I try to keep you from having blood on your hands by making sure that the guy that buys gasoline from me isn't picking up prostitutes, putting them in the back of a van, and three blocks
later, he's got
them cut into 50 different pieces.
Listen, sir, if somebody wants to spend their gas money to pick up a hooker, that's their business.
That's
you
their
business,
yeah.
That. But, okay, so let me ask you a question.
But murder her and cut her up into chunks?
How many friends do you... I bet you have a lot of friends that come into your gas station. They're probably rolling there drunk. You're up there in the high desert. You're on the drunk. Do you send your big black guy? I happen to be black, and it's really offensive.
Oh, yeah, you sound really black. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Yeah,
all,
yeah.
Oh, I don't...
You are a white boy.
Oh,
but I'll tell you this much. Jeffrey doesn't go out there and...
Well, what's the purpose of your big... You said he happens to be African-American.
It's intimidating to some white people to see a guy like that. And he just says, you know, I'd suggest you move on because we don't want to sell gas to you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. April, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, as far as him wanting to protect his community, I totally respect that.
Thank you
the
very much.
The problem that I have with him is
Thank
the fact that he does not have the right to deny anyone to purchase anything because I
That's
can't
true.
See if it was my family that was passing through and I didn't know you from Jimmy Jones, but I would want you to be able to sell to my family. And regardless of what color I am, whether I'm handicapped or whether I am a serial killer, it has no bearing on whether or not you sell me gas. I'm
well,
going to
yes,
do
yes,
it no matter
it does,
what.
Ma'am. If I knew you were going to go out and commit a murder with the gasoline in the car that I sold you, I wouldn't sell you that gasoline. And I might save a life. Now,
but you don't have any way of knowing. I mean, first of all, are you discriminating against people of color?
No, sir. No, it's got nothing to do. My partner's black. I'm saying some of these people that are manslaughter risks, like handicapped and these career women and people like that, she's putting her makeup on. She drives and crushes a homeless man under the wheels of her Mercedes, and she doesn't even know she did it till she sees it on the nightly news. That's what I'm... April, are you married?
Am I married?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm actually recently divorced.
All right, see, that's a problem for me. Because...
Well, why? You wouldn't sell gas to her.
She's probably got her own career. She's got her mind on her business. And these people kill people.
Okay, number one, my mind is on my family. I'm very, very family-oriented, and I respect
your family,
everyone around me.
Is your family handicapped or have any reason to be... worried about me selling gas? I'll sell them gas if they're not trying to come in and look like they own the place.
No, I mean that's the thing is I can respect the fact that you don't want somebody to walk in there and disrespect you and act
exactly.
like you don't
Thank you
don't
much.
Matter.
Yes, ma'am.
But And I think that's common courtesy.
Can I jump in here? What do you mean by walking in like they own the place?
Well, let me ask April. When you go to get gas, do you just get out of the car, grab the hose, and start pumping?
Yeah, usually. Well, that's what, I mean.
You don't think
that's true? But whenever I go in to pay for my gas,
yes,
I usually have a conversation of some sort.
Well, don't you think it's disrespectful to just get out of the car and just grab my pump hose?
No, I don't.
Oh,
it
really?
Sounds to me like your problem is more than just gasoline. It's the way you keep talking about it.
Well, what is a guy supposed to do? When I pull in and I need gas, I'm supposed to wave?
What do all the millions of gas station owners do?
What's that, man?
They serve to just whoever.
Well, I'm not them, see? I keep my volume high by not selling to certain people, and therefore I can keep the price down. But a guy walks in, just grab, why don't you come on in and buy some gum, say hello, this kind of thing, and show me that you got some respect for me.
You want me, when I drive into your gas station, to get out of my car and...
Just show me some common courtesy. See, that's all I'm saying, April, and maybe you'd still be married today. I don't know. I don't want to comment on it.
Well, you don't comment on this lady's marriage.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay, he made the comment. Let me get back at that right quick. The reason that I'm not with my husband right now is because he is a self-righteous, hypocritical...
Service station owner.
No, he doesn't own a service station. He's got a better life than that.
I'd be hard-pressed to find a better life than being an owner-operator of a filling and service station. Right here, I'm on Interstate 5.
There you go. You're on Interstate 5. You got a lot of people driving in and out from God knows where. And are you telling me you turn a lot of those people away?
I don't turn a lot of them away. But I do say to them, so you're just going to drive in here like you own the place. Is that it?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Katrina. Hi, Katrina.
Hi.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I have a comment with this gentleman here. Well, I don't know if I should call you a gentleman, but I'm the kind of person that, you know, helps young people in my career, and I think that it's kind of stupid of you to not provide gas for me if I need to go somewhere, even if I'm a paying customer. That's
Are you handicapped in any way, ma'am?
No, I'm not handicapped, no, but I help handicapped people.
Well, all right, so you're on your way to help somebody with one leg shorter than the other, and I don't know what you do. And it's
just she helps handicapped people.
All right. And
I
she's
help
thinking,
handicapped people. I
all
provide
right.
leadership training for you.
Okay.
And sometimes if I were to drive in your business, you know what? I would need to go and help those young people.
Right.
If you're not there to provide the gas that
you,
I need, that I'm paying for,
you may be having
what kind of person are you? And how the hell would you know if the persons that are getting gas from your station are not going to go on and commit murder or
all right, Katrina, tell you what, Katrina, hold the line.
About.
Hold on, Katrina, and we'll get right back to you. We're on with Austin Amarca. He is a gas station owner who doesn't sell to everybody. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with Austin Amarca. And the price of gasoline going through the roof. He holds his prices down by not selling to everybody. And in the process, he only sells to the neighborhood or people that you approve of. And yet you admit that it is illegal to withhold a service from people if you are publicly trading it, right?
Mr. Henry, I do not illegally withhold a service. I try to discourage people. There's nothing that says you can't do that. But I will serve. Obviously, I'll sell it to them if they really want it. I don't understand why you'd want to buy something from a guy that doesn't want to sell it to you. But I can tell you, I'll go ahead and do it. Do you hold on for a minute? So what I'm saying is, I don't even have to look up. I know a Level B customer's pulled up at the pump. You know, you can hear the sound of their ramp coming down from the van, this kind of thing.
All right, let me get back to Katrina, who was hanging on. Go ahead, Katrina.
I'm sorry, but I think it's really stupid of you to just
Can I ask you a question? Hold on for a minute. I'm hearing a phone dialing.
Yeah, I'm calling
I have yes, ma'am.
Hold on for a minute, Katrina. I want to ask him a question. Why am I hearing a phone dialing?
Because I call my partner in the mechanics bay when I see someone at the pump who I think is either one of these handicaps or something like that.
And what does he do? Does he then go out and talk to them?
Yes, sir.
All right, Katrina, go ahead.
I really think that it's really stupid for this guy to discourage people who are trying to get gas. I mean, when people try to get gas, it's out of necessity.
Either a cripple or it's a bunch of young kids. Well, ma'am, what I do is I will sell it to them.
Okay, but why would you discourage people like me, who are a career woman, and it turns out that in my career, I help the community.
Well, ma'am, why would you want to... Okay, hold on for a minute. We got an old lady. All of a sudden, Mr. Henry, we got a blue hair on 6. Why would you want to buy gasoline from me when I don't want to sell it to you?
Buying gasoline. Yeah. It's about if I ever pass your gas station and I happen to need gas to go and help the people that I need to help,
yes, that's
you
true.
Would discourage me for getting gas?
No, I wouldn't. But I would ask you this. If you've got your mind all on these young, the blind people that you help or whoever you help, and you run over a man, some homeless guy, now what good did I do?
How do you know that I'm going to run over some man? How do you know that the people that you're selling gas to won't be running?
A pump
as well.
Some woman in high heels. Because, ma'am, here's the thing. You're right, I don't know.
You don't know.
I try to assess...
By discouraging consumers, you're also discouraging your community.
I got a blue hair, I got a young punk. Now, hold on for a minute, ma'am. I got a young punk on 3. What I'm saying to you, ma'am, is this. I try to assess the highest probability. Now, career women, they're driving down the road, putting their pantyhose on, putting on their makeup.
Why would he ask that?
I don't have a speech impediment.
Yeah, why would he ask?
I can't express myself because I'm so mad at idiots like you that are trying to be a barrier to people like me that are trying to create something beautiful for the community.
Speech impediment on 3. No, he just wanted to know in case you had a speech impediment if you pulled into our gas station. But you're fine. Doesn't sound like one. No, it does not.
Where are you getting the speech impediment from?
Are you kidding? You're talking real slow, like you had an accident to your brain or something, like you flipped a Jeep.
Are you kidding me?
What do you mean you flipped a Jeep?
I'm sorry, but I'm not. I have a master's degree and a PhD.
All right, ma'am, it's my mistake.
You're probably a dumb one because you can't recognize what would be a good customer and what wouldn't be. And you know what? If I find out your business, I can actually find other people to encourage them to not go.
Ma'am, please understand.
So that your business will go down, you stupid idiot.
No, ma'am, I didn't think. All I'm saying is I thought maybe you'd flipped a Jeep over in a ravine over here in Thousand Oaks. And you might have some brain damage. But you don't, and that's fine, and I apologize.
Are you for real?
God almighty, Amarka.
God bless you. I think you just want to get to hell.
Ma'am, I think that is what...
Hold on.
Tell me, sir. For talking to me like that,
doesn't.
All right, Katrina, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Frank. Frank, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to mention that when you get a license to run a gas station or any other business in America, you're agreeing to give service to the public at large. And
yes, sir.
This gentleman is not willing to do that, and that is discrimination. And
I sell to everybody that insists on buying my product.
Well, they shouldn't have to insist, should they?
I don't know. I don't know what the law says. The law doesn't say... You know, the law says I have to sell to people who want the product.
But if you're not willing to service the community at large, then that is discrimination.
He does not have a speech impediment.
And
are you a when a Korean vet already has the hose in his hand?
But anyway, that was my point. That,
well,
when you get that license, you're willing to serve the people at large.
Well,
and
you,
it's not only old people who commit manslaughter. Young people
yes,
do it,
that's
too.
That's right. I also look at young people. You didn't hear me. I guess I don't know when you tuned in. Can I ask you a question?
It does not sound like you wear a bow tie.
My partner is loud. He says you sound like the kind of guy that wears a bow tie.
Actually, I do not. I'm retired.
You are retired.
My bow tie days are over.
Okay. And are you over the age of 60?
No.
Wow, well, good for you.
What about,
And I do have a physical impediment, and I drive a truck very carefully. I don't have any problems driving.
Got a proper
and I've never had anyone deny me gas. I'm a respectable citizen. And I think that you should have discrimination charges brought against you. That's all I want
to
say. Goodbye.
Wally Cox. Is this Wally Cox? Okay, he hung up. In a...
Will you forget it?
He's got a greasy toupee.
No, he doesn't. Hold on. Let me call you first.
No?
I think he's got a greasy toupee.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What are you guys doing? He's standing in the next room from you.
Well, we bought these really nice cell phones. I just want...
Now to take pictures.
Yeah, they take pictures.
Hello?
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, did you see that guy with a...
Get out of here! Hello? Lloyd, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Is that son of a bee there? Because...
I'm really... If you're talking about me, yeah.
You stopped me from filling my Winnebago when my wife and I are going to Portland, and my friend... You'll be wearing my Winnebago. You'll be wearing it as a pair of slacks. Good night.
Hello? Yeah, did you hear that guy? I just had on the air.
Yeah, sounded like a real turd.
Yeah.
Bye.
Goodbye.
So you bought these brand new cell phones. You're just using them back and forth even though you guys are 3 feet apart.
Yeah.
Hey, boss, can I have a Slim Jim?
Call me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, can I get a Slim Jim?
Sure, I'll bring one over.
Thank you.
All right. Get a Slim Jim.
I mean, goodbye.
Goodbye.
What are you going to do, bring him a Slim Jim in from the cash register?
Yeah, we got a few here, and I got some of those. You ever try this this kind of Harley Davidson breath freshener? It's really...
Yeah, that's fine. Well, there's one gas station you won't want to be... hanging out at, man, because if you're the wrong kind of person, they ain't going to sell you gas. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will return.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist-influenced. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, we had a real piece of walking crap on our show yesterday by the name of Paul McNamara, who is selling survival gear. He says the time's right. What with the terrorist attacks in Madrid, won't be long now. It starts hitting the States again.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I am appalled at this guy. I mean, absolutely appalled. To the point that I've called in. I've never called a radio show in my life.
You know, I find it funny that people are appalled with me. I'm trying to help this country protect itself from the inevitability of a mutant-producing radiological...
Will you come on with that?
Are you psychic?
Well, I'm not psychic, but I can certainly read the news. They did it in Madrid and changed the government. If they could do it over here and change Bush's government, Blair's government, and in London, they'll do it as well.
You know what you remind me of? You remind me of one of those traveling salesmen back in the 1800s selling their elixirs.
Well, that may be true, man. But you know, you can make it about me, but it's about Al Qaeda and what they want to do.
It's not about you. You're on a political kick, and you don't want.
So you think it's all a big fairy tale? You think it's all a big fairy tale?
I think it's ridiculous that you're trying to scare the American women.
Are you of childbearing years?
sweetie, I'm 36 years old and I've born four children.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, nobody,
quit while you're
not
ahead.
You
quit while
or
you're
any
ahead.
Other man is going to be able to scare me or anybody else that I know of into buying some lead-lined suit that you can't prove to me is going to work.
Wait a second.
Place.
Everyone knows that lead inhibits radiation. Everyone, why do you wear a lead apron when you get your teeth x-rayed? Hello?
I don't know, but you know what?
Well,
I bet you're not going
to
put it over your eye sockets, and you're not going to put it over your whole body.
You
can't.
There's
going to be somewhere for it to seep into, isn't there?
You can get lead contact lenses. There are ways of...
You're going to be flopping around like a fish with the rest of us. So why
is it not me.
You're
I'm talking about you pushing out another mutant when the rest of the world's trying to struggle.
You know what?
To me...
I wish I knew where you were right now, because I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who has the unmitigated gall, I bet you don't even know what that is. How about you go look it up? I bet you don't have any clue. You have no clue about anything that you're talking about.
You wish you knew where I was
to
come and make love to me?
You have
to talk
about people with fins? You have lost your mind.
Ma'am.
You know what? No.
I'm just trying to put an end to these types of afflictions.
You opened a big can of worms, mister, because
and,
I'm going to tell you something.
I
have
want
children.
You. Well, what do they look like? You
they're
see, this
beautiful.
Is what I'm saying.
Well, wait, what does
unlike
that mean?
Yours,
what do they
I'm
look
sure.
like?
Well, if she hasn't got a problem with mutants, maybe she's already popped out three or four. This is what I'm trying to say. One out.
You know
wait a
you
second.
I bet you're a KKK agent, aren't you?
Well, I'm not the one with the southern accent. But anyway.
No, please.
And
you
on
know
the
what?
Other hand,
I don't
ma'am,
have
one
a problem
out.
With any people.
Ma'am.
But I do have people with you because you're ignorant.
So
and
you
you're on
her-
the radio. Oh, my God. How the hell did you make it to radio?
Ma'am, I have...
Look at Mr. McNamara, rather than engage in insults of my caller, I want to know an answer to this woman's question, which is, you are not psychic, you don't know that there's going to be a terror strike. Yes, Spain, yes, there have been incidents, but we have a security office here.
Oh, come on, will you, Mr. Henry? Anybody knows that one radiological bomb and this woman's got a kid growing a hand out of the top of his head, and then she's going to wish to God I was around with a lead-lined suit. But no, she's giving me crap right now, but like I said to the other lady... They gave crap to a guy by the name of Noah. Maybe you heard about him. He was building a boat, and they said, hey, old man, you're stupid. And in a lot of ways, I feel like Noah, trying to tell people what, you know, they don't want to listen to me. Go ahead, have a kid with a...
Then why don't you try a different marketing tactic instead of attacking the American women and making it seem like we're so stupid and, oh, my God, there's a bomb. Oh, God, I got to run out and buy this idiot suit for $800. You have lost your friggin' mind.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you that if you don't want to buy the suit, one of your neighbors will, and then they will, when you're knocking on the door wanting you and your three-legged kid to get in, they won't let you in. So, you know.
You know what? I hope some person somewhere tonight does something about you, because you know what?
You
have no
violent.
Business on
you're,
the radio
you're very
running
violent.
Your mouth.
You know, I've been
None.
Trying to help the American people, and you're violent. All you want to do is wish ill. I wish good on you. I wish
oh,
good
really?
On the American
You're
people.
Wishing good on somebody
yes.
with hands growing out of head?
No, I said I hope,
around? Oh,
I
yeah,
hope
uh-huh.
you don't give birth to a kid with a hand growing out of his head. Did
oh,
you hear
yeah,
what I said?
You're
going to
be the one standing back going, ha-ha, I told you, uh-huh. Yeah,
you know,
uh-huh.
Well, you've got four uh-huh. children, huh? And with you
you're
being so cheap,
happens.
Those four kids of yours will be giving birth to kids with heads growing off of their thighs. Thanks a lot.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Thank you. Think it's funny, bud?
Yeah, three-legged kid.
Okay. Anyway. Go laugh outside, okay? I'm glad you think it's funny. I gotta say what it is.
That was great, though. You'll be knocking on a door with your three-legged kid and no one will let you.
All right, bud. Thank you very much.
I gotta tell you, you know, a lot of things I have problems with you, but man, you're a funny son of a gun. Isn't that right, Eddie?
No doubt about it. That's the funniest bit I ever heard.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Eddie Van Halen joining us. Now, may I say what it was?
That was great, though. The thing
I want to say what it was.
What's the matter? Can you take a compliment?
Yes, I can take a compliment. I'm just... It was... Now I forget who it was.
It was Paul McNamara, the guy selling the lead-lined dress.
Yes, Paul McNamara.
The whole thing about the feel like a kid was great.
Look at me. I'm surrounded by freaks. Now,
Oh, that's really nice after we paid you a high compliment and calling Eddie Van Halen a freak on account of he lost his tongue from a cigarette.
Eddie, I didn't mean to call you a freak.
No, that's okay, Phil. Many people say things that they don't mean.
Right. Anyway, coming up will be Steve Bozell. He's upset over seeing The Passion of the Christ because he believes that Mel Gibson purposefully put a good-looking actor to play Jesus, and Mr. Bozell's wife was actually attracted to... She couldn't concentrate on the movie. She was attracted so much to the guy playing Jesus. Was she attracted to Jesus, or is she attracted to James Caviezel? Janice is simply nodding her head.
I'm sorry. James Caviezel. She was very attracted to James Caviezel.
Oh, so she's not attracted to Jesus.
No.
All right. So anyway, that'll be coming up on our program here just momentarily. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We got some great stuff there in our souvenir shop. We're featuring our Jay Santos Compass Watch. It's a great April Fool's gift. But if you go to our souvenir shop on our website, man, we got bowling shirts from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have got the Phil Henry brand baseball caps and T-shirts. We got a latte mug. We got a traveler's mug from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We've got a barbecue set, Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue set. We got the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron with the famous slogan that we can't say on the air anymore, but it's on there. Here's a hint.
We want to put your meat in
it. I don't say it. God. Anyway, we got that. What else we got in there? We got just a ton of stuff. So go to our website. We got something coming out for Father's Day that's going to be just super neat. So go to the website, www.philhenryshow.com. And while you're there, pick up a backstage pass. It'll give you an opportunity to hear all the classic audio on our website. And also, if you buy a copy of our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. If you don't have a computer, if you don't know what the heck it is I'm talking about when I say go online, if you're like, nice, that's a whole other language, man. 877-616-7445. Coming up, Steve Bozell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Show 1-800-449-8686.
And you had just seen The Passions of the Christ, the film. Mr. Stephen Bozell joins us. This lawsuit that you're contemplating against Mel Gibson, I have to tell you, I suppose a lot of people were expecting it, though, huh?
Well, I don't know if they're expecting it, sir, but there are two things that I was struck by. I want to say off the bat here, I realize in trying to make a positive statement, I admire Mr. Gibbons for the film. I think it has great beauty. It was very moving, and it is with profound reluctance that I find myself in this position to file a civil claim against Mel Gibbons, Icon Productions, New Market Films, and Mr. James Caviezel.
What are you claiming, Mr. Bozell, in this lawsuit?
Well, we are claiming that in a film depicting the last very terrible hours of the life of the greatest human who ever lived, and the man who I believe is the Lord and Savior, Mel Gibbons has crossed the line in casting Mr. Caviezel in the role.
Now, James Caviezel is an accomplished actor of many film roles, but your argument has to do with the intent of casting such a handsome man?
Well, if you would allow me to just kind of bring up to speed, my wife commented to me as we left the movie theater. We had left the parking lot. We had just gotten onto the Fraser on-ramp to the 10 freeway, and I think it was probably around 10:30 last Saturday night. She commented to me, and I'm quoting from the notes that I took, quote, "It was very hard for me to concentrate on the movie because the actor who played Jesus, this Mr. Caviezel, was very attractive, very hot." And again, those are her words, very attractive, very hot. And I underline the word hot because it was, I guess you could say, it was quite upsetting to hear. Any man hears his wife talk about another man that way, it's like a knife, you know, getting stuck in you.
All right, we're talking with construction contractor Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell, so your wife found the actor James Caviezel to be very attractive and as a result was not able to concentrate on the movie?
She said particularly in the Last Supper scene, she found him very attractive, and this is upsetting to me for two reasons. The first is that I find it upsetting and disturbing that Mel Gibbons would deliberately cast a strongly attractive man in the role of Jesus so that he can get a gratuitous sexual response from the female members of the audience.
Do you really feel that that's the case? Do you really think that he was trying to...
I really do, because...
Why?
Because the movie, The Passions of the Christ, is essentially an action film, if you will. It's not a traditional action film, but it does have violence. It has a lot of things that are attractive to men. And the second is that it's demeaning and hurtful to hear your own wife comment on how strongly, attractive she finds Jesus, and she's your wife. And I think it begs the question, when I hear my wife praying, is she praying? Is she fantasizing about being married to Jesus? Or even though it's wrote down that he was never married or even kissed or loved on a woman, is that what she's thinking?
All right, Mr. Mozell, your suit was filed by Dolores Blazingame, your attorney, in Riverside, California. It alleges Mr. Mel Gibson conspired to manipulate the emotions of female audience members sexually, and that's a very strong word to use when we're talking about a religious film.
Well, I understand from a marketing standpoint that women are not going to be as involved in a movie like this, so you have to give them romance.
Right, but it says to manipulate the emotions of female audience members sexually, even at the risk of alienating them from their husbands or partners. It alleges that Mr. Caviezel is now and has been attractive and made no attempt to change that for this part. And you're also claiming that it is demeaning to millions of Christians worldwide to depict Jesus Christ as a sex symbol when, in point of fact, he was the savior of man. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is essentially correct.
All right, let me give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I will tell you, we're talking with Steve Bozell, who's the gentleman filing a suit against really four entities. Mel Gibson, Icon, New Market Films. You're contemplating legal action as well against your wife?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And why?
Because of the fact that she knew she was going to a religious movie, and still, when we got into the car and were leaving, she made a point to talk about how hot Jesus looked in the movie. Or Mr. Caviezel, and I...
Let me say that I saw this film, sir, with my wife. Sex never entered my mind. I did find Mr. Caviezel a compelling figure, a very masculine figure.
Well, you know, it's just a small step, Mr. Andrew, from those feelings to full-on homosexuality.
But I'm telling you, I didn't find the film sexual, but I'm not a woman. Now, did women react this way en masse? Do you think most or all women have these feelings?
I think without a doubt, the film's message was not as readily understood by women because they had through these feelings of attraction for Jesus or Mr. Caviezel, and so they couldn't concentrate on the real meaning of the movie, which was he's not good-looking. He just, basically had the crap kicked out of him and was also, plus, the savior of the human race. And...
Well, I watched the film with my wife, Maria, and of all the things we talked about after the movie, she never once mentioned to me physical attractiveness of Jesus or James Caviezel.
Well, a lot of women covered up their feelings of attractiveness for Jesus by simply crying and feeling sorry for him. There's a scene that is, I think, is very gratuitous in nature, and I think very clearly shows Mr. Gibbons' attempts to manipulate the sexual feelings of women in the audience. Jesus is working on a table.
I know the scene, yeah.
And the table he's making is for a rich man, and his shirt is off, and the sun's out, and the sweat's glistening off his back. Well, I'll tell you what, that's where Gibbons leaves the women in the dust with the story, because all they can think about is Jesus looking like a stud with his shirt off.
And all right, Mr. Bozell, let's assume that Mr. Gibson has done all of this. He made a very attractive Jesus in the person of Mr. Caviezel. Why? Why does he have to do this? Why does he have to eroticize this story? It's compelling enough.
Well, the very simple answer, again, Mr. Henry, is box office. This film is primarily, as I said, an action movie. It has a lot of violence and action, but it doesn't really have much of what women want, which is romance. And so this movie has got torture and violence and soldiers and sticking spears into guys and everything that draws men to the cinema. But what was going to get the women out? What will get the women out is Jesus Christ portrayed as an attractive stud to show up the men and get the women excited, which also shows up the husbands. My problem with Mel Gibbons' movie is that in telling the story of a very great man and the Son of God, he had to make Jesus look all hot and everything, or not all hot, but he got an actor to look real good. So the first thing my wife says is she couldn't concentrate on the story because of how hot he looked. To me, and according to my attorney, Dolores Blazingame, that's alienation of affections. and in our lawsuit, and not just that, but it's also, I think, slander against the husbands that see it.
And all right, well, it's a civil claim against Mel Gibson, Icon Productions, New Market Films, and Mr. James Caviezel for depicting Jesus as this very, very attractive, do I dare say, sexy-looking guy, and it had the women excited enough to make comments about it, thus demeaning their husbands as well as missing the point of the movie.
That is it, yes, sir.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, talking with Mr. Stephen Bozell. Aren't your comments demeaning to women?
I'm sorry, in what way?
Well, to say that they don't have enough upstairs to understand what the movie's about, they're just simply attracted to...
No, it does not, sir.
Why?
Because women, most of the movies that women like are high-quality movies. They're not really into movies that have war, like, it's all about war and wartime stuff, where they had Roman soldiers and they were beating on him and basically kicked the crap clean out of him and then stuck a spear in him and all that. That's basically wartime movie in the mode of maybe a Chuck Norris movie, or not the same as Chuck Norris, but a lot like it. Women are not, you know, and women don't like that. So that's why I say it's not making fun of how stupid women are. Women are going to get bored with that unless they see some kind of hot-looking Jesus. And again, I have to say, when my wife April and we pray together, we belong to the local Foursquare Church, and it's a heck of a thing for a man to worry if his wife is praying to Jesus, or is she thinking about, I'd love to be married to him, or and it hurts. I try not to think about it too much, but it does hurt. I go about my day, I think about my wife thinking Jesus is hot and everything, and that's fine, but you're supposed to pray to him, not all think he's all hot and everything.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if any women out there, Mr. Bozell says this is a common reaction that women have had. They find Jesus in the person of James Caviezel so attractive that they couldn't concentrate really on the story. He is contemplating a lawsuit against Mel Gibson and the distributors of this film because he finds that to be a purposeful marketing tool that detracts from the dignity of the film, and also the fact that it is insulting to men to walk out of the movie theater and have their wives talk about how hot Jesus or James Caviezel is. I'll tell you right now, like I said, my wife and I saw the film, and when we talked about it, and we talked about it a lot, she never indicated to me that she found, you know, Jesus hot looking. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Stephen Bozell on the Phil Henry Show in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Born again. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is taking the initial stages of suing Mel Gibson, Icon Productions, New Market Films, and Mr. James Caviezel because you say the depiction of Jesus as an attractive sex symbol is demeaning not only to the subject matter, but also is a way to manipulate women. And again, I don't have a lot of experience talking to women. Have you talked to a lot of women who say that this is the case?
Well, first of all, Mr. Henry, I think that if, when your own wife says to you, the quote is, it was very hard for me to concentrate on the movie because the actor who played Jesus, this Mr. Caviezel, was very attractive, very hot. And again, let me underline the word very hot. I think it is a disgrace that Mr. Gibbons is using a handsome, almighty Lord as a way to win himself, you know, a People's Choice Award or what have you. And I think if they had a disclaimer on the film, it would satisfy us.
And the what are you going to disclaim? That Jesus was
a... Well, you can disclaim a lot of things. You can explain that Jesus or the Lord may not have been as good-looking as Mr. Caviezel, or he might have, you know, been you know, like my boy said, butt ugly or whatever you want to call it. But the point is that to make him all hot and everything is just hurts from a lot of different standpoints.
Well, you're not going to have a disclaimer that says Jesus might have been butt ugly.
No, sir, but what I'm trying to say is it takes away from him getting beaten, you know, having all the crap kicked at him.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Dana, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Dana? Yes, hi. Yes,
go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have so many things to say to Mr. Bozell that I'm not even sure where to start, but it seems that, number one, a lawsuit of this nature is just a waste of everyone's time, and I pray that that is, if this ever makes it to a court anywhere, that that is the first thing the judge will say, because, first of all, it seems that he has not done any research on this at all. He has any of his facts correct. I mean, well, number one, it's Gibson. Number two,
Mel Gibson?
What have I said?
Mel, yes. Gibbons?
Okay. Yes,
number
ma'am.
Two, he keeps speaking for his wife only. And I don't know his relationship with his wife, but it sounds like Mr. Bozell is a very sexist, chauvinist person who has severe insecurities in his own marriage. Because...
No, ma'am, characterizing me in a very unfair way.
I'm sorry, I'm not finished.
I understand, but you're characterizing me in a very unfair way. I don't think I should allow you to...
That is what you said. Everything that you have claimed is that women feel this way, women think this way, and you're incorrect. You have not polled women all over the world.
All right,
I mean,
well, let me ask you,
about violent war movies.
Didn't you find Jesus at the Last Supper in the Passion of the Jesus to be very sexy and hot?
Mr. Bozell, I have not even seen the movie, and you're completely
wrong. Well, then how can you even comment on it?
I can't comment about it.
I've seen it.
What I'm saying is,
I mean, this is so typical of people like you.
Mr. Bozell, you asked me a question.
You know, but it's so typical of people like you not to even know what you're talking about, and you come on and start telling me that I'm wrong.
Mr. Bozell, you're the one that doesn't know what you're talking about. You're characterizing women as not liking warlike movies.
Ma'am.
Number one, one of my favorite movies, one of the most beautiful movies I've seen, was The Pianist. It was not about sex. It was not about hot men. It was about war and only war.
Well, ma'am, I had some experience in show business as a stand-up comedian, okay? I think I know a little bit about the show business. It is really unbelievable that a really good-looking man would be crucified anyway, for starters. And
well, being crucified at that time had nothing to do with being...
What are you talking about, a really good-looking man?
They're going to hang a stud from a cross? That's number one. And number two...
Wait a minute, we're talking about Jesus Christ, who was believed to be the Son of God, who was a controversial figure at the time, hanging a stud from a cross.
But this lady is proving my point. She's not even seen the movie.
What
and she's telling me I'm wrong.
To do with
okay.
Any of the comments
because
you've
if
made.
You saw the movie,
you're
you'd be fantasizing.
Wife because she thinks another man is beautiful?
Ma'am, if
that
you saw the movie, then you don't.
Own
if you saw the movie, he was all buff and everything, he's all ripped. And he's, you know, working out and everything. And
what do you mean working out? He was working on the table.
Right, but you could tell he worked out. And
well, as far as working out goes in zero BC or whatever the you know the year. What did they call the year he lived in? I guess
probably zero or something or whatever. But the point is, this lady's not even seen the movie. She's telling me I'm crazy. So that's right away. I just have to discredit everything she's saying.
I did not say you were crazy. Okay.
All right, Dana, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. James Caviezel is a handsome guy, and he does play Jesus, and apparently there's a comment made by this man's wife that she had a hard time concentrating on the film because the guy that played Jesus was so hot. 1-800-449-8686. Did Mel Gibson intend this as a marketing ploy because women are really not into action movies? Here is Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Hello, Mr. I didn't catch your name exactly. What was it? Bosworth?
My name is Bozell, sir.
Mr. Bozell.
Yes, sir.
It was not Mel Gibson's intention that he should be a hot guy and make it a sexist movie. Not at all. He wanted to portray our Lord in his own way, his own interpretation. We realize we may not agree with him on everything, but please don't take a lawsuit. This is a terrible waste of time.
Did you think that Jesus was hot?
If your wife, sir, please, let me finish.
I'm in church right now. You can hear the church music behind me. I'm in church praying on this.
Listen to me a minute, please. I'm a churchgoer too.
Yes, sir.
And I love the Lord with all my heart and all my strength.
Well,
but listen a minute. Please, let me finish. If your wife finds somebody hot and attractive. This happens to all of us. I look at certain women in movies and I say, well, this is a very attractive woman, but you need to pray with your wife and say, look, honey, this is just a guy who is portraying a part. He was chosen by Gibson because he was 33 years old. His initials were KC.
My wife, if she's fantasizing about Jesus, I'm going to lose it, okay?
Gibbons
tried to do that.
If you are a believing person in your heart, you will know that your wife will get over this. She might need some counseling or something like that, but this happens to many people. We see
right.
many attractive
what do you,
people
Mr. Bozell, what do you say to that?
Well, I say, Mr. Henry,
Bozell,
I'm right now. You ask any woman in your audience who saw The Passion of the Jesus, and they don't have a clue what the movie was about because they're fawning over this Caviezel fella.
That was not his point, to make people fall over Mr. Caviezel. He had to choose somebody. Listen,
yes, ma'am.
People like, hold on a minute. Let me give you some historical background.
Can I ask you a question?
We've had Max von Sydow playing the part. We've had Jeffrey Hunter playing the part. People think that
all
these
of them
guys
good-looking and not looking.
Very attractive also.
Look,
what do you do? You've got
why?
To choose somebody.
Don't
the
they
part,
choose
Mr.
Tom Arnold to
Mr.
play the
Bozell,
part? Why don't they
you
choose?
Let people
Wait
finish.
A minute. Would you let people? But I want to ask you a question, Mr.
Oh
Bozell.
My God.
Are you serious that he should have cast Tom Arnold?
Well, no. All I'm trying to say is why don't they cast a non-traditional guy so women don't get all hot?
Sir. Mr. Caviezel is not a traditional guy. He's not a Brad Pitt. Or a George
exactly.
Clooney.
He's a
that
great actor.
A traditional Hollywood actor.
Great actor, yeah.
Please.
Okay,
you know,
that's true, and you're making some good points.
No, let me finish.
You're making
please.
Some good points.
Mr. Bozell, what are you.
But my wife, I'm going to lose it if my wife is fantasizing
you
about Jesus' wife.
I'm not going to lose it.
All right.
Just pray to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to
all right,
help
well, I got
to
take a break. Got to take a break, sir.
You're like a
Thank
crazy
you.
Man
well,
at present. Don't
I'm
be
not
like
crazy,
that.
But Mel Gibbons is doing it, not me.
Mel Gibbons is Mel Gibson.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ridiculous argument that you're making here.
Mr. Henry, I can tell you this right now. If there is some way that we can determine that Jesus was buff, he was ripped, and was hot and everything, then I'll rescind the lawsuit. But I do not believe that Jesus was buff. I believe that he was...
Well, when you say buff, what do you mean? Jesus was working out? I mean...
Well, you look at him hanging off that cross. Let me tell you what he didn't look like. He didn't look like nobody that... You know, was doing spinning or doing Pilates or anything like that or doing yoga, and how do we know? And I'm just saying, what if he looked like John Candy or something like that? We don't know.
What if he looked like John Candy? Well, I guess he could have, and I don't know that he wasn't fat.
Exactly. Okay, but they make the guy a buff and they make him rip, so my wife will say things that hurt. And the same thing with others.
Did you say you're in church tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
You're in Mass?
No, sir, I'm not in Mass, but they're having a novena right now, and I'm just coming here to just look around. I'm not Catholic, but I thought I'd come in a Catholic church and just check it out. I'm thinking about maybe I'd like to be a Catholic on account of the movie.
This film has inspired you to look at Catholicism?
Yeah, I mean, it looked interesting and everything. And they have up on the wall the Stations of the Cross to show you all the stuff that Jesus went through. And I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at different pictures. I'm in St. Wayne's here in Corona, and there's not one picture of him being ripped.
Not one picture of a buff Jesus, huh?
No, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, what was your name again, Mr. Beazle?
My name is Bozell, sir, ma'am.
Bozell. Mr. Bozell, you sound like a really insecure man. And what I'm thinking
you messed my name up.
What I'm thinking is if a lot more men had a character like Jesus, a lot of their women would be probably thinking about him all day long. And I think that the movie was more about his character than his body, and I think you have some insecurities.
Okay,
maybe you need to go to the gym.
He's also good-looking and everything.
Well, get over it.
Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not.
Well,
I'm a Christian.
I'm thinking about becoming Catholic on account of the movie.
Well, it looks like your priorities are completely off. You have a lot of insecurities.
Have
if
you
you're
seen,
insecure
you
about your body, then go to the gym, work it out.
I'm not talking about that. Well, why'd they make Jesus buff?
It doesn't matter.
Well, but why'd they do it?
He was buff. He probably was.
If you went to the Passions of the Jesus and he looked like John Candy, would you not have walked out?
No, I think I'd still watch the movie because I'd watch it for Jesus, not for his body.
Only in case I made the joke to my wife, if they made it and he looked like John Candy, the cross would have busted and everything. Then I made that joke. But she didn't think it was funny, and she also, you know.
Well, it ain't funny. It's not funny.
It isn't funny.
Why not?
And you have a lot of insecurities that you need to get over, so maybe
you
should
this whole thing about
your mouth and get over it.
You tell me to shut up? See, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I think you need to.
Well, okay, so if Mel Gibbons gets sued, it's on you.
Well, I don't think you want any case like that.
Kim, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. How much of this is your insecurity?
I don't think I'm being insecure when I say that it's... My wife said that he was hot. Is that insecure? No, she did say it.
And you're in church. I'm listening to... What is going on there?
There's like a kid with a drum. And it might be some kind of a funeral or something. I don't know what. But they hadn't stopped ringing these bells, driving me out of my mind. The only thing I would not want to be about being Catholic is they ring these bells, like to put me out of my mind. Just wake up on a Sunday morning with a steaming hangover and they got these bells going. You won't commit homicide. That's for sure.
All right, let me go over here to Amanda. Amanda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Bozell?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I think you're a total wacko. And
I can
like
run a 10K, I can bench 200 pounds, and I can take spinning classes every Thursday morning. Not once has my wife said I look hot like Jesus.
I think you're just very insecure.
Okay, duh.
I mean, if I was your wife, I'd probably leave you, because you sound really, like,
well,
retarded.
I wouldn't marry you, because I like my wives to have an IQ above 40. But thank you very much for your interest, Steve Botel.
All right, let me just go to one more caller. Bill, go ahead.
I just can't wait to have this conversation. You're talking to a guy who did see that movie.
Yes, sir. But
and,
you're a guy. You're a guy. You're not a woman. You're a guy.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Bozell. And let me start by saying you must have some neurons that aren't firing right, because seven times in this conversation you've been told that it's Mel Gibson that
that
made this
correct.
Movie.
Yes,
and
sir.
You call him Mel Gibbons. So there's something a little wrong right there with your memory.
That is
let
correct,
me
sir.
Say this. I saw the movie.
Yes, sir.
Jesus wasn't any more buff than the 10,000 pictures that we've seen of him since we've been 2 years old. He looked exactly like he has in any of these pictures. I work out constantly every day. In fact, when my wife and I saw him on the screen, we both commented that he looked frail. My God, how can a man like that even carry a cross? Buff is not the word. I don't know what the kinds of gyms that you go to.
Did your wife think he was hot?
This guy wasn't buff.
Did your wife think he was hot?
Let me tell you something. I was in Special Forces for 4 years.
Well,
I'll tell you what it has to do with.
Forces. I'm talking about Jesus, whether he's hot or not. You want to go into your war record?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because there were parts of that movie that I could not watch, and I've probably seen more bloodshed than you have. Your wife, maybe, if she was attracted to this guy...
Did you see Saving Private Ryan?
Absolutely. I sure did.
That pretty much the bloodiest movie I've ever seen.
Well, I disagree with you. I think the movie that I saw last night was probably the bloodiest movie that I've ever seen. I'll tell you what you need to do. Let me give you some good advice.
You don't think Jesus would buff?
Let this man finish, please.
Let me tell you. Do you watch
reruns of China Beach?
Let's not talk about reruns of China Beach. Let's stay on the subject. If anybody were to look at the brutality and what Jesus Christ went through in this movie.
You ever seen Tour of Duty on CBS?
Let the guy finish.
And had a sexual feeling. First of all, your wife probably needs some counseling. And second of all, I think what's probably the most important, you need to get down on your knees and pray to Jesus.
That's why I'm in church.
Well, why don't you pray that he would give you some self-confidence?
I'm not Catholic, and they've got a lot of Catholic stuff going on. I'm not sure.
You just say it, Our Father, okay, pal? You can pray any church.
Well, you know, what you need is
Did
a little bit of...
Did you ever see this movie, the MASH movie? See, that's also about war.
But that's got nothing to do with Jesus. What you need is a little bit of self-confidence, because if you know anything about women, 99 out of 100 women aren't attracted to buff bodies. They're attracted to men that have confidence and are secure.
If you thought that movie was the most violent thing you've ever seen, I've seen Saving Private Ryan 4 times.
Whatever, man. Jeez.
Well,
I saw Saving Private Ryan.
I think the audience and almost everybody that's listening to your comments can tell from the fact that this movie that you saw by Mel Gibbons that everybody else saw by Mel Gibson.
You told me it's the name's Gibson, sir.
Yeah, and something is a little wrong with you upstairs.
Look,
and,
Mr. Bozell, if I could jump in, it's Phil Hendry. I think this is a wrong-minded lawsuit. I think it's a frivolous lawsuit. I think it's going to get tossed out the minute you walk into court with it. And as long as you're in that Catholic church, let me tell you, because I'm Catholic, you can just kneel down and say an Our Father. That's a prayer.
So you guys are telling me that I'm crazy.
May I make one final comment about this lawsuit?
Go ahead.
Go ahead if you want to interrupt me. But
my wife's in love with Jesus. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, let me tell you something. Those kind of lawsuits that are brought to the courts in this society make right. our society look absolutely absurd and ridiculous.
All right, Bill, thank you for your call. I gotta run. Steve, believe me, you need to. Did we take this one more call or no? All right, let me go over here to Frankie. Frankie, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to make some comments. Earlier, this guy said he was a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You are, right?
Yeah.
So, as a Christian, you know, if you look in the Scripture...
Have you seen the movie that I'm talking about? The one that Mel...
Sir?
Hank Gibson did?
Yes, sir. No,
okay.
You're a Christian, right?
I think so.
You think? Well, if you don't know, you need to find out.
Well, I'm not sure.
But,
do you have to be hot for Jesus, or can you...
Oh, come on, will you?
Well, all I'm saying is, if you claim to be a Christian,
but all
and you know the Scriptures,
all right.
then you would know that his blood turned to water, right?
Huh?
You were talking about he wasn't pure side and all this and that, so...
Pure side? Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah,
you mean?
Read the Scripture.
You mean Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, you...
All
no.
right, look at... Okay, look at... I'm out of here, man. I just,
Mr. Henry, you're Catholic. What's it mean when the guy says I got to say 5 Hail Marys on account I touch my...
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Go see the Mel Gibbons movie. It's really good. The Passions of the Christ. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, now I'm going to do a little review of the news. Kobe Bryant, apparently there's news there, although it's all rather dull and you know, appropriately in favor of Kobe. And if you think this guy's going to get convicted of spitting on a sidewalk, then I got a lot of money. I'll take all the action. All the action. This guy doesn't see 1 second in a jail cell. It's all going to be a big mistake. She's a psycho case. He never raped her. He might have turned her around, bent her over a chair, and, you know, like, took about 5 minutes of her time. But, hey, what's that between friends, right? The woman accusing NBA star Kobe Bryant of rape will be forced to testify Wednesday about her sex life, a move some experts fear could discourage other women from reporting sexual assaults. I understand that if there is a gratuitous attack on a man by a fame-seeking extortionist woman, I understand where perhaps it's necessary. But it is true as well that women may not want to testify about their sex life. This goes back, guys, to ancient history. Rapes didn't used to get reported to the police because the police generally handled it this way. Well, baby, you were asking for it, walking through that neighborhood with a miniskirt on. But that's the mindset is still the same. The 19-year-old woman will testify behind closed doors, but dozens of reporters will be at the courthouse to report that she had to answer questions from defense attorneys about intimate details of her life. I could... when I saw this, I couldn't believe that Kobe Bryant's still on trial. I thought that whole thing's wrapped up. I thought he's walking as free as a bird, huh? He's having himself a great season. The Lakers are doing whatever the hell it is that they do. He's dribbling the ball. He's shooting it through the... he's driving the lane. The mustard came off the hot dog. All of that. And he's just having a great season, and he ain't going to get convicted of not putting a quarter in a parking meter. Are you kidding? Forget it. On to other news. They still are talking about a constitutional amendment. Now, here's one I support to let foreign-born citizens be president of the United States. By God, I'm all in favor of that, man. Are you kidding? Widen the pool a little bit. Get some people who really give a crap about this country. That's what I'd like to see. I mean, it's obvious that the native-born Americans are the most brain-dead, entitled people. They just sort of got born, and they just sort of go to Disneyland, and then they go to work, and then they just... You know, we got an appreciation for this country that is somewhere down around our appreciation for the way ants build their anthills. You know, we sort of moderately look at it, and then we move on after stepping on it. That's our thing. Let's get some foreigners. This guy Schwarzenegger, I've turned my thinking around on Schwarzenegger. I ain't saying he's doing everything right, but you know what? I like the guy's commitment. I really do. Anybody that gets in there and says, here's what's going to happen, I want to get it done, he's got no higher aspirations, I believe him. You know what? I believe him before I believe the rest of these guys. So yeah, let's get some foreign-born people running for president. So long as they've lived here, I think they should be here a significant amount of time. I think they should be have their feet on the soil a significant amount of time. Let's say 6 months. Here's another story about a boy who found a gun. Now, how'd that happen? A 10-year-old boy in Pittsburgh has confessed to killing a U.S. mail carrier in Pennsylvania last year, solving a case that prompted a $100,000 reward. The boy told officials he had aimed at a tree when he fired a single shot out of a window of his home. The boy found the gun, said Richards, who did not provide... Richards is the postal inspector, who did not provide further information. Authorities have the gun the boy used and are checking to see if it matches the pistol that felled postal carrier Clayton Smith in West Virginia. He died after he was shot once in the back while sorting mail. I thought they had a law that anybody that owns a gun that is used in the commission of a felony goes to prison too. Why don't they have that law? Why isn't there somebody going up? If they don't have it, they got to get it going. Okay, everybody talks about it. Let's do it. I don't give a crap if it's his dad, his grandfather. Like, for instance, who's the kid that went to school and blew away some people with his grandfather's gun? You didn't hear about that? The grandfather ought to be rotting in a jail cell right now. How about those guys that gave the guns to those punks at Columbine, those scumbags there? Isn't that guy rotting in jail someplace? It's very easy. There's nothing wrong with gun ownership. You own one, you own it responsibly, or you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail for the rest of your life. Your gun falls into the hands of some stupid kid like this. He kills a guy. Goodbye. And if you're trying to tell me you can't keep track of your gun, exactly what are you referring to when you say gun? I'll bet you can't keep track of it. Hold on for a minute.
FCC.
All right, I made a pseudo-sexual reference to the gun.
We're keeping track of all of it. I wouldn't want to be you.
Thanks. All right, in other news, they think there was water on Mars. They think that there was salt water on Mars. In fact, the rover is standing on a portion of a Martian plain that at one time might have been the shallow part of a saltwater sea. Okay, now, if you understand anything about the evolution of life, you know that life evolved on Earth in salt water, right? We had heat, we had climate, we had a gas house effect, we had the whole deal going on. And life began to evolve tadpole style there in the sloughs and the tide pools, right? Now, dig this. Mars had salt water, and what is it today? It's a big pink rock, okay? Like one sitting on your wife's finger. It's just a big pink rock. Now, if life is all over the universe with all kinds of guys with antlers and four heads, you can see how tough it is for life to evolve. There's two planets in our solar system that had salt water that we know of now. Earth and Mars. Both of them similar in size. Well, I don't know if they're similar in size. But both of them similar in similar in size and similar in similarities. And yet only on one did it not only develop life, but it developed us, whatever that is. Both are round, as far as I know. And yet only one developed life, and the other one didn't even get so much as, like, moss going. I mean, they couldn't... That's how tough life is to evolve, see? So the next time you think that the Martians are going to come down, pat you on the head and say, don't worry about it, we're going to do a little probe of, you know, a certain part of your body, and then you're going up with us, with Richard Dreyfuss. He's up there right now with all those milk drop people, okay? If you think that's going to happen, then, my friend, I'll take the action on that, too. Yeah, you're going up to Mars the way Kobe is going to go to jail. You'll see Mars before Kobe sees jail, though. Guaranteed, before Kobe Bryant sees jail, an alien will knock on your door and offer you a subscription to the Roman Catholic Tidings newspaper. Guaranteed, before Kobe goes to jail. We've got other stories here, but none of it's any good. Oh, the record industry is suing. What do you think about that, eh?
The thing.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.